said they stopped and got spring water from a spring on the way. And he was drinking spring water. And I thought, you know, he could have still brought me some nap. Yeah? We were a little confused this morning. We were both planning to preach. Dave suggested we fight it out. I suggested a tug of war. Rick suggested he run if we fight it out. How many of you are like me? Don't put up your hands at that comment. But you wait patiently all the time. Oh, wait, that's not like me. How many of you aren't like me and you wait patiently all the time? Oh, wait. Not all, somewhat. Never, who, him? Oh, you never. Never. Well, I'm kind of, my wife says I'm very impatient. I'm kind of impatient. But I find that waiting sometimes, especially today, you know, in today's society now, we've got used to fast food, microwaves, you know. You used to have to take an hour to prepare a meal. Now you pop it in the microwave out of the freezer and take it out in 4 minutes and eat it. You know, so we've developed into a society that doesn't like to wait. And I think that's really part of the problems that we see today in the church is that carries on is we don't like to wait. Now, here's another question for you. I'm sure somebody will have their hand up in here. How many feel they give good advice? Yeah, we got a few hands up there. How many feel if somebody gave you the same advice you gave others that you would be ready to receive it real good? Now, have you ever... And you say, You know, we live sometimes in the mode of waiting isn't good. You know, we encourage others to do something, which... I'll bet you, I'll get you on this one. How many have ever said to somebody, you need to go to the doctor, and yet when it comes time for themselves to go because they have issues, they... Have you ever given somebody advice saying you really ought to see a doctor about that? And yet when it comes to you, sometimes it's just like, I don't need to go see a doctor. See... We live in that society where we encourage people to do things and we tell people they should do this, but we don't often do it ourselves. This morning we're going to focus on one of those aspects, and that's waiting. Waiting. We don't like to wait. Okay? Now, Webster's Dictionary says waiting is... staying put for something to happen. How many of you like to stay put waiting for something to happen? You know, I get in a line when there's six or seven people in a line in a store. You know the first thing I'm going to do? Go to another line. And then when you go, The people that were in the line before, they're already through, and you're still standing back there in that line, and you're saying, why? This line was shorter. My wife says when we go to Walmart and they turn heights, there's one woman I look to see. If she's at the checkout counter, I will not go to that line, even if it's empty. Because I'm not making fun, but this is my...
He's not kidding. You shop there? That's exactly...
I mean, that is... That... she does it. And for me, I'm like, and it quite often, she'll put one thing in a bag and move the bag. Not ready for that bag to come off because, see, when she puts something in this bag, then she'll move that bag back and put one more thing in it. And so, yes, I don't go to that line if I see her working. Whether it be empty or not. Because I know that that drives me nuts. I'm not a patient waiter. And I don't think that most of us are. But waiting at times produces many emotional thoughts. Have you ever got angry because you're waiting on something? Have you ever got frustrated because you're waiting? You're going to wear her arm out, Dave. You know, we get frustrated. We get angry. We get discouraged. We get, you know, just, we sit there and say, man, you know, I could be doing so much more with my time. But see, God says sometimes wait. Wait. Waiting is, like I said, it's to stay in place in expectation of. To remain stationary in readiness or expectation. To pause for another, to look forward expectantly. That's Webster's account. That's not God's account. Turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To those he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Start out in Acts and we're getting the story of Christ's return. And Christ now revealing himself after he came back from the grave to his disciples and things like that. Now, you know, at first they didn't believe that it was him. And even Thomas, you know, he had to prove it to Thomas, didn't he? But here we find that now he has been with them several times. They're quite comfortable that he has risen. Verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. You think Jesus was being very fair here? Okay, the people here, they were excited, weren't they? But he said, wait for what God promised. He said, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So when they came together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the earth. And he said to the disciples, wait. Wait. How long? Until you have heard from me. And folks, that's our problem today. See, we're such an impatient society that we want God to respond just like we expect everybody else to respond. Very quickly. You know, fast. But he doesn't, does he? God says, wait until you've heard from me. Now, I want you to understand that this process of waiting is not Webster's process of waiting. Sitting still, and expectantly waiting something to happen. Is it? What did he tell the disciples? He said, go. Right? Go. Go. Tell people about me. Do things. God to do something even when he says wait. He doesn't say wait and then just say, well, you just sit here in a little chair and be comfortable, and when I decide I'm going to move, I'll let you know. He says to them, he says, wait till you hear from me, but you still have to do stuff. You still have to go. You still have to be doing things for me. So in the process, waiting for God is not just sitting still, but waiting for God is growing. Waiting for God is getting stronger. Waiting for God may be getting deeper into his word. Waiting for God prayer life. Waiting for God has a whole lot of things that have to go on as we continue to wait for him. Waiting for God requires faith. And see, that is the biggest thing that we have to realize, is waiting for God requires faith. And that faith is something that we have to trust that he's going to do something even when we see nothing. And that's hard for us. That God will do something even though we see nothing going on. Can you imagine those disciples as they're sitting there and they say, Jesus said, well, you wait until you hear from God and the Holy Spirit's going to come to you. Did Jesus say it'll be tomorrow? Did Jesus say wait an hour and it'll be here? No, he just said wait until you hear from God. And he said, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. God has sent the Holy Spirit to be a minister to us, and the Holy Spirit's job is to help us in the times when we feel alone. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us when we're waiting on an answer to be able to cope. So we have faith. It takes faith to trust God, because when you're praying and you want an answer, is the answer you get always the answer you want? No. The answer you get is what? The answer God wants. It's not the answer you want all the time. So where faith comes in is we have to understand is we got this process of waiting. And it's got steps. And what's Jeremiah 29:11 say? Anybody remember that verse? You know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. And what is the expected end? The expected end is the end that God has prepared. That God, not exactly what we have prepared. You know? Have you ever sat down to do something and what come out at the end wasn't what you expected? You know, some of you people, you know, somebody once said, you know, that is a really nice blanket that you crochet. And the lady says, yeah, but I wanted to make a scarf. Okay, now I'm not a crocheter. Some of you are. And can you see how sometimes a scarf could end up into something more? Huh? It's not quite what I wanted. Something more. It's a series of processes where God knows the outcome, but we don't. And we know, what does faith bring forth? Patience. Faith bringeth forth patience, right? And patience bringeth forth tribulation. And tribulation, yeah, there's a whole lot of things there. So there's a process that God wants us to see and a process that God wants us to understand in waiting. When we wait on God, he is in control. Not us. Now, some of us are pretty strong-willed people and we like to be in control. And waiting on God says, I'm no longer in control. I got to wait on you. And that goes against our nature. But God wants us to understand when we're waiting on God to answer, one thing happens to us. It humbles us. When you give up control, do you have to somewhat be humble? Huh? Now, what do we look at, you know, from the world's viewpoint, how do they look at humble, meek people? Huh? Weak. Yeah. But do you know, God tells us, if you humble yourself before me, you become strong. Why? Because, see, God sends that Holy Spirit into our life to help us with whatever is going wrong. Humility is something that we don't often like to deal with because it reveals our weaknesses. Humility says, I've got to give up what I want to do and do this. Makes us vulnerable. God is in charge. We are not. Humility is defined as a modest or low view of one's own importance. And see, that's hard for us. But God is still in control. Waiting on God increases our strength. When we wait on God, it increases our patience. When we wait on God, it gives us more time to do what He wants us to do, even though we're waiting for this answer. You know? I remember a time when my wife, we were looking for a new vehicle. And my wife, we were out looking at, and she came back, she said, that's our vehicle. And I had made a guy an offer and never heard anything. 5 weeks later, the guy calls and says, your vehicle's ready. Now, I didn't hear anything from him in that whole 5 weeks. Judy had said we were going to get that vehicle. That she, God told her that was. But we had to wait for God's timing. But when we got the vehicle, we got the vehicle at our price. It met our need. And it was everything that we had expected. But we had to wait on God for that to take place. Waiting is something that we have to learn. And it's something that we have to realize is God tells us to wait for a purpose. There was a man, he dreamed. One night he dreamed, and in the dream, God told him, he says, you know that big boulder out in your yard? I want you to go out and push on it. So the man gets up in the morning, and the first thing he does is he goes out and he pushes on the boulder. And he's pushing on it. Day after day, he goes out and he pushes on this boulder. He's pushing on it. About 3 or 4 weeks into the whole process of pushing on this boulder, and he's done it faithfully every day, he's praying. He says, God, you've had me push on this boulder every day. I've pushed on this boulder for weeks. And he says, it hasn't moved. Why am I pushing on the boulder? God speaks to the man and he says, because I told you to. And the man says, yeah, but it's not doing anything. It's not moving. God said, look at your hands and your arms. And the man looks down and his arms and his hands are strong. Very strong. And he looks at God and he says, yeah, I'm stronger, but I'm still not moving the boulder. God said, I didn't ask you to move the boulder. He said, I asked you to push on the boulder. He says, it's up to me to move it. It's up to you to push on it. And when we look at that aspect is, in our life is we have things that we do, even though we're waiting for an answer from God, there are still things that we should do. And so, you know, you look at it and you see that, you know, Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. How many like eagles? How many like to see an eagle? Huh? You know, we're in the process of moving in that. We're, you know, we get down to the old house and pack things up. You know, we got all the furniture we're moving in pretty much. But, you know, there's still stuff in cupboards and that. We get down and pack up. The one day we were down there getting stuff in that, and I had taken the mower and I was going to cut the grass. I had, you know, I have to haul the mower back and forth now and stuff. And I was taking the mower and going to cut the grass. And I'm getting ready to take it off the trailer and I'm standing there. And this is at my house, old house. I'm standing there and I look and I see this bird flying. And in a tree in my neighbor's yard, this eagle lands. I have never, ever seen an eagle at my house. Okay? Never. You know, I've seen eagles out in the wild. I've seen eagles in, you know, in where they nest and stuff. But I've never seen an eagle at my house. And so I stood there and I told Judy, I said, look, when she come out, I said, there's an eagle. It was a young one, but it had its white tail and it had its white head. It wasn't very big. I got the mower off. I started it and I cut grass. I'm sitting there and every time I looked back at that tree, that eagle's still sitting in the same spot. I got off the mower and I shut it off and I went down. And my uncle was deteriorating pretty rapidly. And he doesn't get around very well. But I went down and I knocked on the door and I went in. And he was sitting in a chair and I said, Uncle Bud, I said, if you can come out on the porch, I said, you got to see this. And he said, what? And I said, there's an eagle in the tree. And he got his canes and he got out there and my aunt helped him. And he got out onto the porch and he's looking. He says, I don't see it. And I said, well, it's in that limb right there and it's bobbing its head once in a while. You see the white flag. My aunt went and got the binoculars, and he's looking at the eagle. And he's like, I have never seen one here. And I said, yeah, I said, I haven't either. I said, but you know what? God just knew we needed an eagle today. And it was 15 minutes. That eagle never got out of that limb. And then it all of a sudden took off. And it flew all the way around us. We could watch it. And it went over another tree and landed. Eagles, we relate to that. Eagles have a strength that, you know, if you've ever watched films on eagles, when they come down and they get their prey, when they do the things. You ever see an eagle's nest? Most eagles' nests are 10 to 12 foot. Big. Okay? Now you'd say, why would they have to? It's for the strength. But they build these huge, phenomenal nests. It's for strength. And God says, if you wait on me, I will renew your strength as that eagle. As the eagle. And I think that that's what God wants us to understand. When we wait, we work, and something happens to us as we're waiting. God's using the waiting to change us. He's making us different. I have one more story. Any of you ever seen a Chinese bamboo tree? Huh? Have you seen a Chinese bamboo tree? How big are they? Huh? Okay. Now we're talking averages here, so we're thinking. The average Chinese bamboo tree gets to be 90 feet tall. Okay? The average. 90 feet tall. Now, when they plant the Chinese bamboo tree, in the first couple weeks, a seedling sprouts. Okay? Anybody know what happens to the Chinese bamboo tree after that couple weeks? No. I didn't either until I started researching it. And I think this is a message on God's, even though it's a tree, faith, patience, and how we should endure. The guy plants the Chinese bamboo tree. It sprouts a seedling. The seedling is about a foot high. Then the tree grows. Okay? But the seedling never gets more than a foot high for 5 years. 5 years! 5 years! The seedling is still this high. Okay? Only God could do this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, when you find out some of this stuff that's out there, it's only a God thing. The seedling stays a foot high for 5 years. In that time, what's it doing? Building roots. And that's exactly what it's doing. Is planted, it starts to grow. It can grow up to 3 to 4 feet in one day. Okay? Now think about this. You plant this thing, 5 years, you sit there and you watch it. And you see nothing but this little seedling. But then it comes a time after 5 years, it starts to grow. And it will grow 3 to 4 feet in a day. Some of them will grow up to 24 inches in an hour. Now, think about that. You just see it going, whoosh! And it's growing. And in 6 weeks' time, it has grown to 90 feet. God's amazing, isn't he? When you think, but that story is for us. That Chinese bamboo story is for us. Because see, in that 5 years, you don't see anything that's happening. But it is happening. It is happening. And what does the guy that plants the seedling do? What do any of you do if you plant something? What else? Oh, wait. Here. I'm planting. Is that what I do? What do I do? I gotta water it. What else do I do? I may give it fertilizer. Make sure that it's getting the proper amount. Oh, wait, I got to pull some weeds once in a while. Huh. My wife said as we were coming in, the rocks need weeded. Never could figure out how rocks can grow weeds. But they do really well. Okay? But what do I have to do? And if you ever watch Rick, at the end of the service, he's normally out there picking a few weeds out of the rocks. I have to take care of that plant if I want anything out, don't I? Okay? The Chinese bamboo tree, the guy has to take care of it. He has to make sure that the soil is good. He has to make sure that he keeps it watered the proper amount. Right? You want to overwater or underwater. And while he's doing all that for 5 years, that little sprout is growing a root bed that's going to support 90 feet growth in 6 weeks. Now, when I heard that story, I said, that's scampy. I went in and I researched it. And it's absolutely true. Okay? And I said, God, what a message. Here's a sprout that somebody puts in the ground and takes care of it for 5 years without seeing any fruit. And God says, wait on me. Wait on me. He says, I'll provide the fruit in my time. With the Chinese bamboo tree, it's 5 years. Can you imagine the first person that ever planted a Chinese bamboo tree? And it's still living, and it's still a foot high, and I could imagine standing back there and saying, what am I doing wrong? Huh? God, what am I doing wrong? I'm not getting an answer here. This tree's not doing anything. And after year one, I looked and said, God, my tree's not doing anything. After year two, I looked at God, you know, I'm doing everything I can do. See, the Chinese bamboo tree is our message on what God wants us to understand. As he said to the disciples, wait until you hear from me. I'm not telling you that it's easy. I'm not telling you that it's something anybody can do. We have to work at it. If we're truly going to wait on God, we have to work at it. And we have to continue to go and do the things that we need to do. Because, see, God says, if you wait on me, what? I will renew your strength. Waiting's a process. Waiting is something that we don't find natural. But waiting is something God wants us to do. God looked at the disciples and said, wait on me. God's looking at each one of us today and say, wait on me. Continue to serve. Continue. But if you haven't got the answer, wait. Because he said, in my time, I will give you the answer. But while we're waiting, we will find that we develop things like faith, patience, and strength. Those are things that develop underneath while we're waiting for an answer from God. God says, wait on me. In my time, I will answer. Oh, by the way, the way I want it to be answered. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the thing that, when you look at that amazing Chinese bamboo tree, and you look at how that speaks to us, that God, there's a process there that takes 5 years for the fruit to come. And God, sometimes we don't want to wait 5 years. God, sometimes we don't want to wait 5 minutes. God, help us to learn to wait on you, because it's as we are waiting for the answer that you are renewing our strength, that we are gaining more faith, that we are gaining more patience, that we are becoming more like you, and that we are still doing things for you. And other people can see eventually that you have worked. Be with us this week, Lord. There are many, many needs. Some have been praying faithfully for an answer from you. God, help us to learn to wait in the manner that you have designed, patiently, faithfully, that our strength can be renewed through your Holy Spirit. Be with us this week. Help us to share your love with those around us. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.